This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guarantees to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call it 664 Seasons.
Chicago winters can be brutal. Snow, ice, freezing temps. If you're thinking, driving in this weather, I need a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step. Need the power and durability of a Silverado, the all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer, the spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty city-friendly Trax, perfect for navigating winter streets? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to handle winter like a pro. Don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Winter roads demand a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. It's time now for some Cowboys Twitter top tweets going viral about America's team. We saw this last hour, Micah Parsons in a story posted by Nick Harris on the Star Telegram. It'll be our first Cowboys Twitter subject. Quote, I don't want to sit back and watch other teams build and us stay the same. I want to see us become aggressive and get some impact players that will make an impact. If I'm Micah Parsons, I'm going to my agent. After seeing what the Philadelphia Eagles were able to do with their very creative salary cap management, I'm getting aware of the business of the NFL now three seasons in, and I'm thinking, man, I want to make this a term of doing my next deal. Jerry Jones says he's not going to be told by the players how to run his team. Somebody's got to tell him that what you're doing ain't working, and it's no coincidence, right? One, you can't add two and two and make eight or whatever Jerry Jones said. This is just not going to come together. I don't care how optimistic that he is, but you don't want to be at 28 years old, Myles Garrett. You know, that's coming up for you in what, 4 years? You want to be now under 25 years old with full awareness of how the Cowboys plan to try to team build to win a championship. And if you're Micah Parsons, you got to answer for yourself. Is it more important for me to stay a Cowboy where the marketing opportunity is high, the visibility is high, but they're not going to put me in an opportunity to win a Super Bowl? Or do I want to go somewhere? Do I want to go to a winner? You know? And so I would tell the Jones family, listen, if you're going to team build the same way, let's make this easy for the both of us and just trade me right now.
Yeah.
And I, from what I can tell, he understands what time it is now. You know, 3-4 months ago when he was talking midseason and leaning optimism at every turn.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, this is, you know, Micah buying what Jerry Jones is selling. You know, now I'm like, shoot, yeah, this is what you need to do. And this is the Cowboys fans' hope that current star players can say, I'm not staying here. You're not selling another number 11 Micah Parsons jersey as we're doing a TV show. This is what we're doing. You have TV stars. You pay us to go on TV and put on a good show. We remain competitive, but we're not serious about taking home the championship. And for me, you know, in all my years of competing as a, you know, struggling amateur athlete as a kid or, you know, coaching now, it's all about winning. If you're not in it to try to win, then it's just a business for you. And hopefully Micah Parsons is willing to follow this request up that he had in a media session and, you know, put some support behind it with action. Okay, what else do we have going on here for you in some Cowboys Twitter, top tweets going viral about America's team. I want to thank my guys here real quick because I'm going to be heading out of town in the morning, heading to San Diego with the soccer team, and that should be a lot of fun. So thanks to you guys. I'm taking a four-day weekend. All right, what do you have to say about CeeDee Lamb saying this about Eagles fans? Do we have this audio clip here, Lucius? CeeDee Lamb at Radio Row. This was last week. I didn't see it until today, guys. So much content's come, but the reporter sets him up. Here's the Cowboys' best player on offense.
Who has a more passionate fan base, the Eagles or the Cowboys?
I can answer that.
Eagles.
Eagles?
They're crazy. Our Cowboys, our fans are deep, but they not. I don't want to say nothing crazy, but the Eagles got it.
Can you disagree, Wolchuk?
He's right. They are crazy. I mean, in terms of like crazy rabid fans, the Eagles are. I mean, obviously you'd like your receiver to be like, no, the Cowboys have better fans. But he said crazy. He didn't say better. They are a little bit psycho. They're probably going to fight you in the parking lot. I mean, we see videos going viral like the last couple times San Francisco has gone there. People are just walking up to the stadium and you're getting mother bleeped and you're having all kinds of things said your way. I don't think we're doing that as a Cowboy fan base. So I'm going to lean towards that's the way CD was taking it. And I would agree with him in that sense.
I think our fans are more educated.
There you go.
I think our fans really do understand football. And I think where that we struggle a little bit is maybe some of the, you know, because we're such a football central state. Mm-hmm. You know, when we know good football, we also know bad football, you know, and we're able to identify that. I think Philadelphia, I think they have a really good fan base for sports overall, but I don't think their fans in football are more educated, you know, than our fans here.
Maybe their baseball fans are. I know Cliff Lee commented when he was a free agent in 2010.
No. I think overall, when you start
probably hockey.
Yeah, because I live there and go into Flyers games and 76ers games and all that. They have a very passionate fan base for sport.
Yeah.
And they're very vocal about it, you know, when things aren't going. But
oh, yeah.
But when it comes to the hows and the whys, I think Cowboy fans understand that. Because I know in all the platforms I'm on, the type of questions I get are really well thought out.
Yeah.
I don't think if you looked at like I could go on Elliott Shore Park's account and read Philadelphia fans' comments and think, they're not really
These
thinking.
These people
that,
are nuts.
Yeah, they're not thinking it through. But they're very passionate fans for their sports teams.
Yeah, Cowboys fans understand football. It's a football state.
Well, you saw some passionate fans the other day with that whole Nico thing.
Yes.
I mean, that's a little bit out of character, I think, for Dallas sports fans, to be honest with you.
You know, I think that's a couple hundred fans, you know, and then the crowd watching them. I think if that had happened in Philadelphia, you're looking at the tens and tens of thousands of people, you know, protesting. So are they better fans? I think you said it best. They're passionate.
Yeah.
They're good at getting drunk and being obnoxious and supporting.
It's a whole fan base of crash outs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, Lucius. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know if I can necessarily disagree with CeeDee Lamb. I just wouldn't say that fan base is better because it's so toxic.
No,
right?
No.
And it brings more shame from the outside in than it does appreciation or respect for the organization.
This fan base here knows why the Eagles are good and they know why their team's not any good. Where the Eagle fans are just, oh, you're a Cowboy fan. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But they understand, like, team building a little bit better than what I think the Eagle fans
for sure
understand.
Yeah, and X's and O's. I mean, so many of our fans played football at
you grew up in great programs in this state, high school programs, collegiate programs.
Pennsylvania is known as well, but that's more Western Pennsylvania.
The Big 33, I mean, you know, they play good high school football and stuff in Pennsylvania, but to me, when you just in fan bases that I've dealt with, questions that I take on a daily basis, our fan base is just spot on. And they'll say some crazy things, but I would say it's probably like 5% of those fans. But the other 95% ask, we do Love at the Star. And Zach asked for questions. You get some really deep questions about the team, not just, well, Dax, you know, it's like, okay, hey, who would you rather have? You need a left tackle. Mm-hmm. Would you rather have this combination or this combination? You know, they're thinking of big picture things. Well, I don't know if necessarily Philadelphia's fans, Philadelphia, give them credit though. They win. That Eagle bunch is they got it done.
Elsewhere on Cowboys Twitter, let's jump over here to a blogger, Joey Ikes, who's quoting Dane Brugler here. If Dallas doesn't take Genty at 12, it's hard to see him going inside the top 20. Does that make you more confident he'll be there at 12 if you want him? Do you agree with what Dane Brugler's saying here about Ashton Genty, Cowboys' only team looking to take him at 12?
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're getting the vibe from all the work you're doing before the draft, and help me on this one, Zach, if we're calling teams and getting an idea of maybe where Genty is, now I might be more comfortable to trade back.
There you go.
What I'm saying? If you tell me I have a possibility to go to Arizona at 15 or go a little further back into the 20s and I maybe can grab Genty and pick up another third round pick, that would make me feel a lot better. I'd love to take him, you know, I'm comfortable taking him at 12, but if Dane is right and Dane talks to a lot of teams, I'd be fascinated, my own gang of seven, like, hey, where do you have this runner? And is he likely going to, we haven't seen him in a mock draft yet get put at 18, 19, or 20.
No, he's either gone to the top 10 or he's gone to the Cowboys at 12.
We haven't seen him. We haven't. The minute you start to see him go in mock drafts, you'll have an idea of what teams think about him.
But, yeah, it's a smart, educated guess. I mean, 13 Miami, I don't think they're going to be in the running back business. Indianapolis has Jonathan Taylor. Atlanta's got Bijan Robinson. Arizona just paid James Conner. Cincinnati, maybe. Maybe Cincinnati would look at him at 17. Seattle loves runners, but they've got plenty of them. And then Tampa Bay just had Bucky Irving go for 1,000 yards.
John,
so that's
Snyder
when you get to Denver at 20.
Yeah.
Right? So most of these teams between the Cowboys and Denver, they've already got their running back.
Yeah, and you got to remember, too, that Sean Payton drafted Reggie Bush. You know, that if you talk about a dynamic, explosive kind of back.
So you're sitting there hoping Genty gets to you number one and that the Bengals or the Falcons or somebody wants to come up to 12 for the best player there that you're not in love with.
Man, I love the scenario that yesterday in Love of the Star, one of our listeners proposed going to Arizona at 15 and you had those picks at, 76, 78?
78, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you had two back-to-back.
To 16, that's a good spot for
you. You have four picks inside the top 80. Man, that you can't. That's a good day right there.
Yeah. Okay. We go to Dan Rogers, Danny Phantom. He's a blogging the boys guy here. He's up next on Cowboys Twitter. The Eagles scored 95 combined points in the NFC Championship game and Super Bowl. Check this factoid out. No team has scored more points in a two-game span in the playoffs ever. The most points any team has scored in back-to-back games. And he says maybe the Kellen isn't clutch, isn't a Kellen thing, but a Cowboys thing. He called a masterful game. What's your reflection here of Kellen Moore, who's now a Super Bowl champ? You could go back 3 years ago, and it was it a Gannon or a Steichen or something that was the offensive coordinator in Philadelphia?
Yeah, Shane Steichen.
I remember the critics saying Sirianni and Steichen are free-rolling because this offense is so loaded. Is the same thing true about Kellen Moore, or does he deserve more respect than Cowboys fans have given him?
I'd lean that it is. I mean, Kellen didn't exactly do a great job in L.A. There's other people. I mean, there are people that think that Kellen is really, really smart and that he's very, very capable. I've oftentimes questioned, you know, where in a game, play calling. I mean, one of their biggest plays is Devontae Smith. I saw it today that, like, cleared the Super Bowl for him. That was a Sirianni call.
Yeah.
Sirianni was pleading to Kellen, dude, deep shot here.
It's over.
We score, it's over. So that's the head coach telling the offensive coordinator, this is what I'd like to do. That wasn't a Kellen Moore call.
That's a good click over if you're doing that.
Right? And that's what you should be. Like, Sirianni's an offensive guy. Like, that's why I always thought, Mike, if you want to throw Kellen under the bus or whoever your play caller is, you're here.
Click over.
You're able to do that. Yeah. Why haven't you? Yeah. Right? So to me, I don't think this is going to go well for Kellen in New Orleans. I wish him the best of luck. It's a bad team, and I don't know that he's ready for this.
What do you think of Kellen Moore, Brian?
I'll tell you what. I like the way that he figured out that the players that how he got him, he figured out how to get them all involved.
Yeah.
And he for the most part, we only heard a little bit of rumblings from Brown, right, about, you know, we need to do something a little bit better in the passing game and things like that. But for the most part, I mean, they were pretty much spot on with running the football, taking advantage of their offensive line, using all their weapons, playing to the strengths of their defense. I think it takes a special type of coordinator to put your ego aside and allow the team to have success that way. And I think he did a really good job of that.
I mean, remember Mike was critical of him wanting to pass it all the time.
Right.
You know,
right.
And Mike didn't run more than he ended up doing.
But he figured out that he had a special runner and a special offensive line.
Yeah.
And he took advantage of
that. He talked about it at his press conference being introduced to the Saints. He said, I genuinely don't care if we pass it 50 times or run it 50 times. I'm just trying to put whatever my strengths are out there on the football field. Right. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. There's a look at Cowboys Twitter top tweets gone viral about America's team. Where are we going next, Woolchuck?
All right, let's do our top 10. It is National Tortellini Day.
Ooh.
I've got the top 10 most popular dishes at Italian restaurants in America. What's your go-to when you're going for Italian food? That's next in the nation.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420. Segment is brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Here he is, Zach with an H, your Woolly Bully.
All right, what is your favorite dish whenever you go to an Italian restaurant? What is the one that you order the most? We'll get to that in just a moment on National Tortellini Day. I did love this text from the 817, but when our fans start eating horse bleep because we won, call me. I don't know if that means like Eagle fans are superior because they're willing to eat doo-doo and feces, or if it's just like, yeah, we are nowhere near as bad and as raunchy as the Eagle fans are, because as much as I love the Cowboys, and I'd put my love for them up against anybody, I ain't eating horse doo-doo. That's not happening. I don't care if we've won the Super Bowl or if we've won 10 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
No horse poop here.
I mean, I don't even know if it's being a fan. It's some sort of a weird mania. It's
like fetish.
Yeah, it's a toxic alcoholic contest. You know what? Measuring contest between these people of who can be the biggest lunatic. You know, the Bills got some of it, but then the Eagles splice it with a level of obnoxiousness and confrontation that I just it doesn't agree with the Texas sensibilities in any way. You know, we would never try to do something like that. You know, it would just be too embarrassing.
Horrible. Yeah. I also saw Lyft is planning to launch self-driving vehicles in Dallas starting next year. I know Lucius has talked to us about these self-driving vehicles, but that's terrifying. Like, if I'm ordering a Lyft and next thing I know I show up and there's no driver in the car, can we trust this? I don't know where it's going to take me.
Yeah, I think the accident rate's going to be a lot lower than human drivers. You know, now maybe you're worried about somebody hacking that and taking you somewhere else or them locking you and driving you about, you know, but I think the danger of depending on other humans, especially intoxicated humans, like if you could just deploy these after midnight, can you imagine how it would drive down drinking and driving? I ran into a couple, just this last weekend? I forget where I was, but I was out of town and New Orleans, that's right. And we were leaving the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And there was a couple sitting next to us and the dude was talking about, I had to get a Tesla because we drink so much. They go get freaking hammered and then just have the Tesla take them home.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
No, you know where we were was, maybe this happened in New Orleans as well, but we were over at, what was it? In Rockwall at that spot that we did our live show at.
Oh, the bar.
At the bar. Yeah, this is really bad that I can't remember the name of this place that we were at, and they were awesome, and I loved it. It was right off the water. Brass Tap.
Brass Tap.
Yeah, there it was.
And those guys, they were playing pool, just getting hammered.
Yes.
And he's like, yeah, can I get you a drink? I'm like, dude, I'm about to drive.
Yes.
He's like, and then he brought up the Tesla.
Yeah.
I guess for purposes like that, maybe it's cool. I don't know, man. The thought of that does terrify me. Like, you're right. Let's take the human element out of it so we can avoid, like, drunk driving. But at the same time, it's like, man, we're putting all of our faith into basically a robotic car and just praying.
Now the drunks have to get into those cars, though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
The drunks will still run right into you. If you're in an autonomous car or not, the drunk will run into you. We have to get the drunks in the cars.
Yeah, you do. You do. And you have to get them to agree to not take the wheel. You know, but I would trust them a lot more than humans. There is a trust gap though here. Like, how do you trust the robot to not screw you over? And it might take some time for us to, you know, believe they're not going to go full Cyberdyne.
Mm. I also saw notable omissions from the combine. I talked a little bit about this during NFL News of the Day. But my dude, Johnny Walker, the edge from Mizzou, did not get invited. This is a big issue that I have here. Why in the world is he not going to the combine? He's a badass, as is Jacory Kroski-Merritt from Arizona, who's a running back that I got to see at the Shrine Bowl. This dude can do a little bit of everything. I like the size. He's got some wiggle to his game. Can catch the ball out of the backfield. He didn't get the invite either. So that's disappointing, and I hope those dudes end up getting drafted and they prove everybody wrong.
Well, they will.
Prove them wrong.
And everybody will go through those schools. They'll go through Tucson, Columbia. Yeah. They'll hit them.
Damn right.
They'll get them.
As they should, because Johnny Walker's a beast, and I like that Jacory Kroski-Merritt as well. All right, let's talk Italian food, shall we? Most popular Italian dishes in the United States that are ordered at an Italian restaurant. 504. Y'all are literally talking about Eagles fans because we have a team we can be proud of, unlike Cowboy fans who are delusional.
Proud.
Screw y'all. You know what? Screw you. Keep listening, 504, but screw you. I don't give a damn.
504, that's Louisiana.
I don't care. I'll say whatever the hell I want about the Eagles, and you can have the damn Super Bowl trophy. I don't care. I don't like you.
I mean, Eagles fans are obsessed with the Cowboys. We haven't done anything in 30 years.
We're living rent-free in your heads. You win the championship, and what are you doing? You're chanting Dallas sucks.
Yeah.
That's the last thing I'd be doing, chanting Philly sucks if the Cowboys won a Super Bowl.
We tried to at Radio Row, though.
I had to bite my tongue so much on Radio Row. Every day I wanted his mouth off and say something. I can't, because I'm a self-aware fan, and I do realize right now you are on top, and we are at the bottom, okay? And I hate it. But screw you, 504. Keep listening, though. I love you. Let's talk Italian food. I have heard in Filthy the Italian food is exceptional. You can probably attest to that. Brian Broaddus. Tortellini vodka sauce pasta from the 214.
Outstanding.
That's their go-to.
Very
they absolutely love it. Chicken parm is coming in strong here.
There you go.
254 baked ziti with the grilled chicken.
Eric's mom does it very well.
Oh, she sure does. Still haven't tried that spaghetti and meatball, so it's also apparently
that's another one I heard is really good. Yeah.
Pappy texted in. That's Tim in Carthage. He said chicken Alfredo. Fettuccine, chicken Alfredo. I don't think you can lose on that.
The white sauce does something I don't agree with, though.
Oh, you don't like the Alfredo.
I don't like the Alfredo sauce. Yeah. I'm more of a red sauce guy.
Yeah, yeah. So they'll still put the red sauce on the Parmesan, but you just don't like it being on the same plate.
Right.
That's fair.
It's not fair. It's a stupid take.
No, but what you could still do is just ask for the fettuccine Alfredo to be like on a side plate.
Yeah.
You just don't want it touching. Because I do think there are sometimes I'll go to an Italian restaurant. Let's say I don't want to do, you know, whatever it
They'll mess up the bechamel sauce.
The Torre Italy.
It tastes weird to me sometimes.
Okay. Yeah. So you just, together, though, like maybe I want a little sample of the fettuccine Alfredo and then enjoy the chicken parm. But if you don't want them on the same plate, I think there's a way around this.
Oh, yeah.
I think we can do this. By the way, two guys from Italy. It's always a place I'd like to shout out.
Excellent.
I love it there. They're fantastic.
Great.
Very, very affordable. Good portion sizes. Delectable.
Lucius, that's the place I brought the lasagna from. Two guys from Italy.
Oh.
The lasagna.
Chef's kiss, man. Chef's kiss.
They're like, I hand it to you. Like, man, this thing weighs like 3 pounds. Yeah.
And lasagna remains your number one seed, correct,
Lasagna
Lucius?
Is definitely my number one seed. But I do like the fettuccine Alfredo because that's what the young girls know how to cook first.
Yeah.
It is easy.
They got you with that one.
Yeah.
Rasta pasta.
Oh, Rasta pasta.
Ooh, Rasta pasta. Yeah. Calzones. You like okay.
I love calzone. That Texas size calzone. I'm not going to tell you the name of the place.
Yeah, I don't.
But I'm going back this weekend to fill this body up.
So what are you getting in the calzone?
Whatever they put in there. It's just a whole lot of stuff. It is so big. Pause. It's huge, bro.
Okay, so we're talking multiple meals?
Yes. Right. I can split it with people and still have a lot. Like, all right, man.
Damn.
Are you sure you don't want another piece?
Yeah, it's please, huge. Somebody take this off my hands. Calzones are good, and I don't get calzones enough. I'm going to need to ask you what the name of this place is.
Yeah, I agree, too. I got to figure this place out.
Okay. Cajun Alfredo, getting texted in.
There you go.
Stuffed shells are underrated.
Very underrated.
Yeah, they're good.
The Drizzle in Waxahachie says lobster ravioli and crab-encrusted tilapia over a bed of mashed red potatoes.
Okay, the tilapia.
Yes,
I think I could go for a better fish than the tilapia, but I like what we're going there.
Oof. Gnocchi?
Gnocchi, yeah. It's like the little
it's potato, right?
The potatoes. You can make them with make them a little bit more fluffy if you use potato. Put the potato through a ricer and make it even more fluffier that way. Yeah, very good.
Campese's is getting some love from
Campese's is a legendary staple. Place here. Yeah, just down the road from us here.
The linguine and clams is getting texted in.
Ooh, good call.
Shrimp or even seafood Alfredo, absolutely.
Yeah.
I kind of like, if you're going with the seafood, linguine, I think is a better pasta for me personally. I like
a little
like
thicker.
It is. Stromboli getting texted in. Here's the list of the most popular ordered dishes in the U.S. of A when it comes to Italian food.
And you didn't say manicotti. Are you?
We will get to manicotti in the top 10. It is.
Okay, good.
Pesto pasta is honorable mention.
Homemade, the best.
Pasta puttanesca, that's honorable mention.
Very good.
And the pasta with the vodka sauce, also honorable mention.
Mm-hmm.
Just on the outside looking in is bruschetta.
Bruschetta.
Appetizer.
Nice little
delish.
Yeah.
10 is margarita pizza.
Yeah.
Classic.
No, thank you.
But it's got,
I'll tell you what,
it's got basil and it's got tomato, and you're going to say no, thank you.
I mean, it's so flat. You know, the weird white things of cheese on there. It's not a real pizza.
Let me tell you what, Dawson, your favorite place is a lot.
Yeah.
Does it very well.
That's a margarita style?
They do a margarita pizza.
Oh, do they?
When I was, like, when we were doing pregame shows, I was feeding the guys up here. And we had, like, we ordered two slot bigs. They like the pepperoni, but they also like the margarita.
Okay.
It was actually, it's a lot, does it very well.
It's a classic Italian pizza.
I mean, it's not horrible. You know, it's kind of like the old saying about pizza and intimacy. You know, even when it's bad, it's still pretty good.
I don't know about that.
It doesn't fill you up.
If there's corn on it, we don't like it.
Corn on the pizza.
There's an argument for both, man.
9 is tortellini on National Tortellini Day.
And the soup is really good.
8 is stuffed manicotti.
There you go.
So it made the list.
There you go.
It sure did. 7 is angel hair shrimp pasta.
Okay. Everybody gets an argument with me about that.
I know. The angel hair brought out a war. I think this might have been like 2 years ago when we did a similar type of list.
Shrimp and olive oil with the angel hair.
I did like top 10 pastas.
And those people went after me.
They did.
On that.
You just said it's not good for holding.
It's just not a thin pasta. It doesn't hold the sauce like you talk about linguine holds sauce.
It does.
Yeah. Actually, those, like, anything is the shells and the mm-hmm. rigatonis, anything where the sauce gets inside the pasta is even better.
Now it's bursting with flavor.
Exactly.
There's a lot that you could have pulled there. We've got baked ziti at 6.
All right.
Anything with ricotta cheese is fire from the 601. I
Dawson's
love it.
Dawson's giving you a big,
The baked ziti?
You don't like ricotta cheese?
I don't know if I like ricotta cheese or not.
I kind of think I did it one time, and you're like, man, I think, oh, wait, you told me you did like the ricotta cheese in the lasagna. You said,
that's that gooey white cheese?
Yeah, that's right. You go, broadish, you need to put a little bit more ricotta in it, is what you told me.
That's right. My mom goes heavy on the ricotta cheese.
You got to in a lasagna.
Yep.
Top five most ordered Italian dishes. Number 5 is fettuccine alfredo.
Yeah. Goated.
It is. It's traditional. It's delish. Number 4 is ravioli.
Yeah,
right on cue. Ravioli is bomb.
Stuffed.
And you can do different types. I mean, it can be the lobster. It can be cheese. You can go with a meat ravioli.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal. 3 is the chicken parm.
How do you do that? I prefer mine in a sandwich.
Yeah, you can.
Does that count?
Same way. Just flatten it out. Use a breading.
I'll throw some noodles in there, too.
Yeah. Actually, chicken.
In a sandwich?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Chicken comes like that. Yeah,
chicken parm with a side of like angel hair is really good.
Yeah, I like to like to go to a spot that's got the big loaf of bread that they'll give to you before the dinner.
Uh-huh.
I just take one of those, slice it down the middle. Then when they deliver the chicken parm with the pasta, you just put it in there.
Yeah, dude, you're making your own sandwich. I like that idea. Number 2 is spaghetti with meatballs.
Yeah, there you go.
It is classic. 631. You're probably like Sicilian or from Tuscany. Ricotta. Like, I don't know how you say it.
Oh, please. Ricotta. We're trying our best.
Everybody's got their own sort of dialect or accent on a language.
Ricotta.
Yeah. Ricotta. I don't know. But number 1.
I mean, the English destroy their own language.
Facts. Number 1, the most ordered pizza. Italian dish is indeed lasagna.
Lasagna.
Bang.
Lasagna, Lucius. We got number 1, baby.
Which Brian's best man, Mike Lombardi, told us in most of Italy, that's just a holiday dish. That's a Christmas dish.
A Christmas special. Dish.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm thinking about weaving that into my Christmas rotation.
Mike's
Why
a
not?
Liar, so I wouldn't worry about that.
He's only been
in
Italy, what,
if you order, yeah, look, if you order one in Italy, they give you the whole damn tray.
They give it the tray.
The whole tray, like you would feed your family with.
Let's go.
And a big old bottle of wine.
Taking it home. Hey, a man from the past has destroyed the Mavericks governor, Patrick Dumont. Ooh. Maybe the best audio of the last week and a half of this Luka nightmare. We'll play that for you. We'll react. Football's finest is coming up at 5 o'clock, and we're back in the nation. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. The Mavs continue to be the top story, and we heard from old Vegas Bob on Maverick social media. This is on the Dumb Zone podcast. So Bob Vulgaris, Vegas Bob, was the analytics and gambling crypto guy that apparently had made a fortune in Vegas betting on games by using his analytical approach. And he convinced Mark Cuban at some point, I think they had like crypto in common or somebody, convinced Mark Cuban at one point that he should listen to him more than Donnie Nelson. So, you know, Vegas Bob is definitely a controversial figure for Mavs past. And I don't think he had the answers either. You know, I think he convinced Mark that, like, you know, Maxi Kleber and Dwight Powell could be enough as your bigs, and then you just got guys that played defense and shot corner threes and didn't care about any other, like, basketball skills that I could tell. At least that was the end product, right? And that was not good team building. But he's obviously on the inside and has a strong opinion and a strong personality. So here was Vegas Bob talking about this whole nightmare, and his sights are squarely on the Mavericks governor / owner, whatever you want to call him, Patrick Dumont. Here's Bob.
I don't know. And the other part is, like, the people who are critiquing him had no business. Like, I'm sorry, but those people have not accomplished anything. They're not accomplished individuals. Who are they to be talking about what it takes to win? That's the part that I found really, really offensive. Like, what have you done in your life that allows you to, you're in charge of the team, and so you're beholden to that. But, like, also, come on, give me a break. What have you inherited a pretty good roster. You inherited a generational superstar. Have a little bit more humility, I think, in knowing what it takes to win, especially when, and then forget about, you know, Nico's in a tough position, so I can empathize him, but the owner, I mean, this guy's like the definition of, you know, he's just
Nepo mediocre. Baby fail son.
He married into money. He's by the way, he doesn't take, like, if someone's going to talk to someone else about being fit, like, I can, you know, I at least work out. I take care of this guy. Does not look like he's ever denied himself a luxury of an extra meal. And so for him to talk about what it means to win and then to reference Shaq as like the ultimate example or one of the ultimate examples of it, it's just so tone deaf. And yeah, like, dude, obviously you're charming. You managed to marry into this amazing family, like that makes a lot of money or has a lot of money. Great. Congratulations. But what else have you accomplished other than going to school? People go to school. Well, you worked at Bear Stearns. How'd that work out for you? Damn. Like Bear Stearns is a real fantastic company that almost bankrupted the whole country. So I don't know, man. I don't have a lot of sympathy for people who are so adamant in just have a little grace and be like, you know what, this is difficult. I didn't underestimate how much this, you know, we were new to this. We bought this team. We didn't realize, wow, like we'll do better. Like we're trying to get better every day. We're trying to make better decisions. We care about the fans. Like, please trust us. We really want to bring something special, but they don't. That's the other thing. They really don't. They don't care. They don't care enough. They don't care about Dallas. They're not from Dallas. They're not Dallas people. It's a real estate play for them.
Wow. You know, so that really puts the picture in the frame, doesn't it?
That's what you call a read right there. He read that, man.
Yeah, he did, man.
That's a read.
Vegas Bob tore Patrick Dumont up, and I think this is a real cautionary tale, you know, for any Mavs fan, you know, to be thinking maybe this is just the beginning of horrible decisions. You know, I'm starting to think of this as, you know, when he said Nico's in a tough spot, so I have empathy for him. Bob Vulgaris is a guy who's got Mark Cuban in his phone, likely talks to him a lot of time, has a lot of sources over there. And Nico can come out front and center and say, hey, this was all my idea at first. But since then we found out, oh, Jason Kidd actually knew before it was over. Mm-hmm. And oh yes, the owners were actually involved in this as well. So how much the story has evolved and changed since it was initially reported, I think is significant. And I'm starting to look at this like, man, we might have like a Donald Sterling or, you know, worst case scenario ownership situation on our hands. And maybe Nico was just following orders. Like, I think as fans and media members, this requires like a pulling back and a more detailed investigation into exactly what was Nico's role. Because Nico had done a hell of a job. You know, he had actually been dominating the trade market, dominating decisions, other than just a couple up until this point. He had been recently talking about how Luka was the guy to take him to a championship, and then there's this total about face 180 degrees, and it would just make sense that a know-nothing and at the same time very cocky owner stepped in here and has, you know, taken us on this just wild nightmare of a basketball excursion. We were set up to be in basketball heaven for the next 10 years, Brian.
I wonder then if ownership is going to make a suggestion about Luka and trading him, do you think ownership knows really the day-to-day operations of the basketball team? And I'm asking this in a way of, I do think Nico did this.
Yeah.
I do. I think Nico is a very aggressive general manager in a lot of ways. I think there's things that, like the old saying, I don't think he's here for a good time, not a long time. And I think that there's some things that he had to deal with is, okay, you're a shoe dude, you know, but then you get a team to a championship, you know, you build in a team. I just think that the owners don't know what's going on day to day. I think this is something that I think he made this personal. I really do. I think Nico made this personal
See, that's what I thought for a while, but this week has been all about a narrative Dumont.
I just think the owners don't know if it's pumped up or stuff.
I think Dumont's kind of sharing what he's heard from Nico.
It reminds me very much. Yeah. It reminds me very much. And when I first worked with Jeffrey Lurie, mm-hmm. and he bought the team in 94, mm-hmm. and I was working with him in 98. 97. He really didn't have a handle on what we were doing.
Yeah.
He wanted to be involved and you tried to explain to him what was going on. And, you know, he's gotten better as an owner because he's hired Howie, and him and Howie are tied at the hip, and, you know, he trusts Howie. But when he first got to the team, you know, like he's like, okay, I want to be like the Packers. Wait a minute. I want to be like the Steelers. No, wait, I want to be like the Packers again. Hmm. You know, there was that. He didn't know what direction he wanted to take his team.
Yeah, didn't have enough experience or knowledge.
He didn't have any knowledge at all. Yeah. And Joe Banner, who, if you kind of Google his name, Joe Banner was in the clothing business. Mm. Joe Banner was the president of the team, and Joe Banner is arguing with me about players.
See, this is why I don't think it was Nico, because Nico knows basketball. He played at a high level in college. He played overseas. But he's been working at Nike, at close relationships with a lot of basketball people.
I think it's the family has come off really bad because the guy doesn't know how to handle a delicate situation.
Exactly.
And I think to me that, you know, I think he trusted Nico from what Nico got them. I mean, if you look at the, you know, him and Jason Kidd and the roster and stuff, I mean, they got to the championship. And so the Dumont family, they're kind of like looking at Nico like, man, look what you did for us, you know? And Nico's like, hey guys, I'm thinking about trading Luka.
Yeah, then the next day we found out maybe Nico doesn't want to stick around. Why would you go from finals? I'm in here now trading away our best player, and now I want to leave the job possibly? Why would you want to leave the job?
I think a
heavy-handed owner who's trying to impress his
very
vision.
Very fair. I also think that Nico has a lot of other interests other than being a general manager. I think that he was tabbed as a general manager, and to him it was a challenge.
Huh.
I'm a shoe guy. I'm a marketing guy.
Well, we needed one to explain to the other, no matter how it went down, we can't possibly do this, but they did.
He did a bold, Nico did one of the boldest things ever in professional sports.
Yeah,
he did.
He did. He really did, and it's going to be one of those times where it's either going to be looked at as historic in a positive way or a negative way, but he's clearly set his tenure as a general manager in one direction.
Let me just say, we talked with George Sedano yesterday. I asked him, is it Nico or Dumont? He said, clearly Dumont. You have Bob Vulgaris, former executive at the Mavs, pointing at Dumont, Nico, saying Nico's in a tough spot here. You have Ralph Strangis.
Nico's the fall guy.
Well-sourced all over. Sources all over the AAC where he called home.
After Dumont.
He's saying Dumont.
I think it's both. I do, personally. I mean, it's hard to overlook before Dumont got here.
Mm-hmm.
Nico was already removing some of the guys that were Luka guys, right? Like those
Casey Smith, Dawson.
Yeah, those dots were already kind of here.
Yeah.
So then you get what happened game three in the NBA Finals, and Dumont's here for that. And he's probably got Nico that's telling him, hey, I was with Michael Jordan. I was with Kobe. Yeah. These were my guys. They had a certain amount of work ethic. That's what it takes to be great. I'm not seeing that from Luka. I don't know if he's worth getting. I think this was a joint effort, in my opinion, between both of them. I think a lot of what Dumont is saying came from, at least from what we've heard, Nico's thoughts that Luka wasn't a overall try hard, I'm putting the work in. He did. Luka would improve certain aspects of his game. Maybe he just wasn't doing it the way the Mavericks wanted him to do it.
Yeah.
He would go to Slovenia. He would go play international ball. He wasn't doing it here in Dallas. And then how can I explain to everybody when you're playing hurt in the finals, I can't tell you no. You can't go play international ball 2 weeks later.
Well, I didn't hear any word of Nico wanting to leave until the day after he could have been forced to trade Luka Doncic. And I just don't know if it's because they're basketball stupid or they wanted to rebuild the Lakers' relevancy.
This is if you're Nico and you're trying to build your team and the owner walks in and says, I want you to trade Luka Doncic. And if I was Nico, I would look at him and say, you're effing crazy. Why? And if he continues on, he says, no, we're trading this player. I would quit then. I would say, no, I'm not going to be a part of this.
Yeah,
you're not going to stain what I've done here the last 4 years, 3 years. Yeah. As a general manager, they laughed at me.
Yeah.
That I couldn't do this. You're not going to put that on me. If I was Nico then and he was forced to, he should have quit.
Well, I'd have made Dumont be at the presser, not me.
There you go. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, hey, you're the one that wanted this. Don't leave me out to dry.
Yeah. I think I can say, I think Nico made this personal. I really do.
Well, that's where I was thinking, really, all last week. But in recent days, more momentum is pointing towards maybe Dumont having an equal or maybe even more amount of say in how this went down. And if that's the case, then even firing Nico couldn't save us from what we're about to endure here.
Like I say, it reminds me of Jeff Lurie and you know the movie Stripes?
Yeah.
With John Larroquette. Are those my men? No, sir. Here are your men. You know, and John Larroquette's this bumbling commander guy. I think that maybe that's what we're looking at with Mavs ownership. Kind of a bumbling guy trying to kind of fit in, kind of work his way. And
make the team his.
And yeah. And but I can say, if I'm Nico and you say you want to trade what?
Yeah.
Then I would have said, listen, then you can find another general manager, because I'm not going to put that on my watch.
Well, I do think this is going to blow up in their face, and more journalism is going to be done. More insiders will continue to talk. And if it is Dumont, then I think he needs to become public enemy number one.
Sure.
And, you know, I really like what Ralph is doing, putting pressure on the Adelson family to remove him from this governorship, because he's just clearly so clueless and out over his skis.
Yeah.
It's too big for him. Football's Finest coming up next. Well, Chuck, where are you taking us?
Would you want the Cowboys to sign this top free agent? What can the boys learn from filthy Super Bowl run? That's next.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.